Some days ago, I was listening to a lecture given by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in which, in the beginning of the lecture, Srila Prabhupada commented that this is a very important verse, as you may have heard, those of you who regularly listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, highly recommended activity to regularly hear the lectures of Srila Prabhupada. So those of you who regularly hear his lectures, you will often hear him say that this is a very important verse. Now, we can consider that Srila Prabhupada was speaking, this was at Hare Krishna Land, in Juhu, in Bombay, as the city was known at the time, and the temple was not developed at that time, it was under construction. There would be a handful of his disciples present, and the whole big city of Bombay was going on around him. But Srila Prabhupada and the few disciples who were there saw that this is very important. It's not just an important verse, it's important to be there hearing Srila Prabhupada, or at the present time, in the without Srila Prabhupada being personally manifest, the representatives of Srila Prabhupada, of course, even while Srila Prabhupada was present, that was the system within the classes, within the temples. There'd be a daily class by a devotee, two other devotees on the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. So clearly, to Srila Prabhupada, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, was very important. Most people don't think it's very important. Srila Prabhupada's whole endeavor could be summarized in this way, or could be summarized in various ways. One way is to say that Srila Prabhupada's whole endeavor was to convince others of the importance of hearing and chanting about, which of course leads to remembering, and of course serving Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada heard and chanted about Krishna. He endeavored to make others hear and chant about Krishna, not only to make Krishna the subject matter of our hearing and chanting, because everyone is hearing and chanting about something, but also with what attitude we should hear and chant about Krishna. This is also very important. There is an increasingly widespread misconception within the contemporary Vaishnav world, not explicitly expressed, that somehow or other, if we get people to hear and chant about Krishna, then that's our job done. So whether it's via rock concerts, fashion shows, Krishna conscious fashion shows have made their debut within the ISKCON world, at least in India, I know of one instance. Nothing else really matters. Rules and regulations don't matter that much, but just somehow or other, if some people hear about Krishna, it's all right. Of course, Srila Prabhupada would quote this Smartavya Satatam Vishnu Vismartavya Najatuchit Sarvavidhi Nishedasya Etayoreva Kinkaraha, taking parts of two verses. Srila Prabhupada would quote this, that somehow or other get people to in contact with Krishna, and all the rules and regulations can come later. So, all right, but the rules and regulations should come, not that they don't matter. So Srila Prabhupada's endeavor, he saw this is very important. He certainly took it very seriously, hearing and chanting about Krishna, endeavoring to make others hear and chant about Krishna. Smarantas, smarayantascha. that's mentioned in Bhagavatam, the devotees, they remember Krishna and they endeavor to make others also remember Krishna. He took this very seriously, and he took it very seriously that how we shall remember Krishna without offense, not that we shall become candidates for following in the footsteps of Kamsa and Hiranyakashipu, whose remembrance of Krishna was certainly intense, but that remembrance should be anyabhilashita shunyam jnanakamadhyana abritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. They should be with bhakti, and bhakti uttama bhakti. Bhakti, there are various levels. Mixed devotional service, mixed up with bhakti, mixed up with whatever is already mixed up in our mixed up consciousness. And we bring our mixed up consciousness into bhakti. But rather we should leave behind all the mixtures, all the phantasmagorial permutations and combinations of various illicit desires, and serve Krishna, or at least cultivate the sense of serving Krishna without any personal desire. Which means, from the outset, we have to admit, I don't know, I'm a fool, I need to be trained. Whatever we think is important, we should understand. If we're to come to Krishna consciousness, we should understand that everything else is unimportant. That means becoming free from false ego. The Mayavadis, the Buddhists, they also talk about becoming free from egoism. So their idea of becoming free from egoism is just to empty the mind, so there's nothing there. Well, there's already nothing of any value there. But what is there, that should be replaced with positive understanding of our position as the servant of the personality of Godhead. What does it mean to be a servant of Krishna? This Srila Prabhupada taught us incessantly. As Manidhar Prabhu aptly noted last night, Maya, her business is to make the important seem unimportant and the unimportant seem important. So just like Srila Prabhupada commenting on this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, I don't remember which one it was actually, I just noted it down. It was, maybe I'll get back to that a little later. So, Srila Prabhupada, in the whole big Bombay city with how many? At that time, maybe 7 or 8 million people, all going on with their lives, all considering what they are doing is very important. The financial capital of India. Srila Prabhupada certainly recognized that Bombay is an important city. He says it's the most important city in India. And that's from the material point of view. Of course, Vrindavan is more important from the spiritual point of view, but from the material point of view, the logistic point of view for a preaching mission, Bombay is most important. And from the spiritual point of view, India is the most important place in the universe. But Srila Prabhupada wanted to give to the people of Bombay and the people of the world and all the inhabitants in the universe a sense of understanding what's actually important. Srimad Bhagavatam is important. Krishna consciousness are important. Our daily affairs, not important. So what is important and what is unimportant? Everything that we do, everything that we've ever done in millions of lifetimes, everything that we aspire to do outside of Krishna consciousness has no importance. Ritheritam yat pratiyeta, na pratiyeta chatmani. Then what's the next line? Yad pratiyeta chatmani. Yata bhaso yata tama. I'm forgetting the third line. So Krishna told, tad vidyad atmano mayang yata yathabhaso yathatamah. Krishna told Brahma that whatever there is in existence that appears to be important, if it is not in relationship with me, you should know that it's unimportant. It's simply like a reflection in the darkness. Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna gave to Arjuna an understanding of what is actually important. Arjuna had miscalculated. Arjuna was very serious. He wasn't being frivolous. He was extremely serious in what he was doing. He was completely convinced that what he had to say is important. But Krishna told him, no, you're a fool. You don't understand what is actually important. What is important and what is unimportant. What is important is to surrender to me, Krishna said, to do what I want, not to do what you want. Your opinion is unimportant. My opinion is important. We find Krishna several times in Bhagavad Gita speaking about his mat. Mat means opinion. When Krishna gives his opinion, that's a fact. When we give our opinion, it's just blabbering. Names, just some words, just some more confusion being ejected into the universe. So what is important and what is unimportant? Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's message, is important. Srimad Bhagavatam, this is our link to the spiritual world. We are in the illusion, the darkness of illusion. That means thinking that which is unimportant to be important. Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitair janasya mohoya mahammameti. Rishabdev stated that what materialistic people take to be important. Pungsastriya mituni bhavametam tayaraho hridaya grantimahuhu. They take the relationship between male and female to be most important. And then my home, my country, my family, my money, my property, all, we take this to be most important. But they have no importance. They have no factual existence, just as in a dream. In a dream, we can feel extremely emotional, extremely elated, extremely distressed, but it has no factual meaning. So everything in this world, it has no factual existence. It's a long dream, instead of the short dream at night, a long dream. So what is factually important? We are eternal, we have our eternal relationship with Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us knowledge of that in great detail. Who is Krishna? What is our relationship with Krishna? Now, this verse, I started by saying, Srila Prabhupada said this is a very important verse. This is an important verse. Now, this verse, this was from the third canto in the Sankhya Yoga section, Kapila Dev Sankhya Yoga, in which verse after verse speaks about the different elements and how one element is manifest and another element is manifest. And actually in this series of verses, Srila Prabhupada said about one of them, this is technical information. So what is an important verse? Srila Prabhupada, day after day, was lecturing on this in Bombay. Somewhat technical information. And Srila Prabhupada, he asked for a book to be made out of this series of lectures, which was eventually done after Srila Prabhupada's passing away from this world, that those lectures were transcribed and edited and published, the essence of them, as the book, The Teachings of Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti. Now, These verses might not seem to be very important. Verses which describe the beauty of Krishna, our relationship with Krishna, the importance of devotional service, these may seem to be very important. But of course, all the verses of Bhagavatam are important. It's not that if Srila Prabhupada says this verse is very important, it means that any other verse is unimportant. Any single verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam is of incomparable importance in relationship to anything in this world, because Bhagavatam is directly Krishna. Krishna Tulya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Krishna Tulya Bhagavat. Bhagavatam is just like Krishna. So when Srila Prabhupada said this is an important verse, it doesn't mean anything is unimportant. It's something like within the Bhagavatam itself, it's about the Bhagavatam, it is stated that this is sarva-veda-itihasanam saram-saram-udahritam. Out of all the Vedas and the itihasas, that means itihas means Ramayana and Mahabharata, and often the Puranas, they're clubbed in the same category, they're similar kind of Shastra. So out of all the Vedic literature, this is the essence of the essence. Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of the Vedic knowledge may be considered to be the Upanishads, because Atato Brahma Jignyasa. Now we should inquire into the nature of Brahma. This is the entrance into spiritual life. Vedanta, that means the Upanishads. Atato, now, means, it's generally understood to mean, now that we've been through all the sections of the Vedas which recommend performing pious activities to generate good karma so that we can have a future birth in which we shall enjoy this world in a better way than now. So having understood that this is not the real purpose of the Vedas, we should come to the real purpose, which is dharmasya hi apavargyasya. That we should understand that practice of dharma is not meant for pious material enjoyment, but it is meant for becoming released from this material world. So that is the subject of the Upanishads. And it's the essence of the Vedas. But then the essence of the essence, above and beyond, simply release from this world, is understanding the nature of release, of mukti, in its superlative form, which is described in Bhagavatam. Mukte hit vanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. Mukti, the real meaning of mukti, is having given up all these false names, forms, qualities, and activities that we get one after another, birth after birth, to be situated in our actual position. So this is a philosophical way of saying, going back home, back to Godhead, and attaining a spiritual form in the service of Krishna. So if we're to say this is an important verse, it doesn't mean some other verse is unimportant. Or similarly, in the Bhagavatam itself, it is stated about Sri Prahlad Maharaj, what is his position? Mahabhagavato Mahan. He is great even among great devotees. We know the term Mahabhagavat, a great devotee. So he's, Prahlad is great even among great devotees. That doesn't mean that the Mahabhagavats are not great, they're not special, they're not worshipable. It doesn't mean that we ignore them or neglect them or that they are anything less than highly worshipable. But still, Prahlad's position is specially noted. Similarly, we have the Dwadasha Mahajana, the 12 Mahajanas, which are stated by Yamaraj when explaining to his messengers, the Yamadutas, about the nature of dharma. So he mentioned to them 12 famous personalities who are all called Mahajanas, or great personalities, great particularly for their devotion to Krishna, for this point. They're Swayambhu, that means Brahma. He's great, being the original person in the universe, the overseer of the universe. He's a great person, but he's not mentioned here as being great for that, but because he's a great devotee. So others are also mentioned, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu. What's the next one? Prahlada, yes, Prahlada. Janaka Bhishmo, Balia Vyasakya Vayam. Vayam means we, so Yamaraj counts himself among those great personalities. So Swayambhu, Brahma, Narada, Shambhu means Lord Shiva, Kumara, Sanat Kumar, and it's understood the others also, four Kumaras. Kapila, who is the personality of Godhead, acting as a devotee in dispensing knowledge of Sankhya Yoga. Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, distinguished from Swayambhu Brahma. Then Prahlada, Janak Maharaj, the father of Sita Rani. Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Vyasaki means Shukdev Goswami, and myself. So he offers all these the names of these personalities as great persons who are competent to deliver spiritual knowledge. What they say is as good as Shastra, because they are Shabde Pare Janishnatam Brahmanyu Pashumashrayam. The qualities of a guru is that he should be completely absorbed in and competent in the message of Shastra and has fully taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the Parampara system. And of course, in the case of these 12 Mahajans mentioned, there's also a direct realization of the Personality of Godhead. So they're all Mahajan, they're all qualified authorities on the subject of devotional service. But it doesn't mean that there aren't any others. Any great devotee, especially one who is preaching and teaching Krishna consciousness, they should be known as a Mahajan. But still, 12 especially are well known. So when Srila Prabhupada says this is an important verse, we should understand that certainly it's important, but it doesn't mean that some other verse is unimportant. Every word of Bhagavatam is important. Krishna Tulya Bhagavat Vibhu Sarvashray Prati Shloke Prati Akare Nana Artha Koi. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's recorded that Srimad Bhagavatam is on the same level as Krishna, who is all powerful and competent to give shelter to all. And in every verse of Bhagavatam, in every syllable of Bhagavatam, there are so many meanings. Of course, all the meanings coalesce in the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we are meant to serve Him, but that this statement, or or even the name Krishna. Everything is perfect and complete in the name Krishna. But in consideration of this name, there's also consideration of the unlimited names, qualities, forms, pastimes, associates, mellows, rasas associated with Krishna. So we can consider Krishna and the subject matter of Krishna complete in the name Krishna. And then if we are to appreciate that name Krishna, Krishna Kirtan can mean simply chanting the name of Krishna, Hare Krishna Kirtan. And it can mean glorifying Krishna in unlimited ways, in pursuance of his unlimited qualities. So Srila Prabhupada said that this is an important verse. We find every verse of Bhagavatam is important, but at that particular time, Srila Prabhupada found something very relevant to communicate to his disciples who were in attendance. And we can have this experience when studying Srimad Bhagavatam, how this some statement seems to leap out at us and want to shake us and want us to communicate it to others. Yes, everyone should hear this. Everyone should understand this. As I'd stated in that series of verses, Srila Prabhupada stated about that, one of them, that this is technical, not philosophical. Yet, technicalities are also important. It's not that the technicalities of the description of creation given in Srimad Bhagavatam is unimportant. It's not that Vyasadeva included anything in Bhagavatam is not of importance. Everything is of importance. And particularly if we were to be making technical research in the service of Krishna, then this section would be particularly important to us. In that section of the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, where the description of the creation, and in one of those purports, Srila Prabhupada writes that this verse can be the subject of great scientific research. And that's all he puts. But we can understand from this one verse, then there can be whole teams of devotional scientists studying, making research. There's so much potency in Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, there are statements or long lists in Bhagavatam, the lists of names of kings. The Chandravansha or Shomavansha and the Suryavansha, the names of these two dynasties of Kshatriyas, the names are given, long lists of names. So you may think, well, just a list of names, is it so very important? Yes, it's all important because it's all in relationship to Krishna. In the Somavansha, the dynasty of the moon, Krishna appears. And in the Suryavansha, Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram appears. But as Srila Prabhupada points out, for us, so if we were doing research in genealogy and wanting to establish the veracity of the Vedic version, this would be these genealogical tables would be very important for us. And actually, even to chant the names of those pious kings, that is devotional. That we find in the Bhagavatam also, Uttama Shloka Kirtaye, in describing why Krishna, Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye, why Krishna appears in this world, Kunti Devi suggests one reason is to glorify the pious kings who were great devotees of him. Kechid ahu ajang jatam Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye. She says that some people say that the unborn has become born to glorify the pious kings prior to him who glorified him. Yado priyas yanvavaye malayasyeva chandanam. He appears in the family of Yadu Maharaj, who is a great devotee, a very dear devotee of Krishna, just as chandan, sandalwood trees, appear in the Malaya hills. So these, to recite these names is, it's just as reciting the names of Krishna is pious, so to recite the names of great devotees is pious. In the Rasik Mangal, the biography of Sri Rasikananda Dev, there's a long list of names of the devotees. So why include so many names? For us, it's just a list of names, but for devotees, at that period especially, that would be remembered. Who are these persons? Who are their activities? The activities of each one of those devotees could be expanded into volumes, how they lived and practiced Krishna consciousness and preached Krishna consciousness. In our own Krishna consciousness movement at the present time, there are many names that if we say, then immediately we think, oh yes, very important devotee, the Shrutakirti, Harishori, the servants of Srila Prabhupada, Brahmananda, Gargamuni, if we know these names, oh yeah, they're very important names. Now if we go a few hundred years into the future and mention all these names, people may not know what they've done, what they did, how they served, but it doesn't mean they're unimportant, because we don't know. So similarly, the names of the kings in the Bhagavatam, certainly those who were coming in those dynasties, they would know something about all these great kings and their great pious activities in protecting the citizens, and that they're all great devotees, generation after generation after generation of great devotees. So we should establish that also, isn't it? In a few hundred years, we hope there will be someone who say, yes, and 15 generations ago, Ananta Shesh, she was my forefather, great devotee, and then after him, another, and another, and another, and another. So that should be, that kind of pride, that not mundane pride, but to be very happy that, yeah, I'm born in such a family, I have such great forefathers, and I have to maintain the family tradition. I should also serve Krishna and be a pure devotee of Krishna and act in a respectable, honorable manner as a devotee of Krishna, because all my forefathers acted like this. I should maintain that. So these names, they may not seem to be long lists of names. Chaitanya Charitamrita also, we have two chapters, mostly list of names, great devotees. Every one of them is capable of delivering the world. What is that? Brahmanda tarite shakti dhare jane jane. Brahmanda tarite shakti dhare jane jane. That's every one of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is powerful enough to deliver the whole universe. Shukdev Goswami points out toward the end of Bhagavatam that some points that he stated are more important than others. So while the list of names is not unimportant, it's very important actually. It's all in relationship with Krishna. Krishna certainly sees all of these persons as very important. So we should also see them as important. But Shukadev says that I have included many narrations in this Bhagavatam just to inspire a sense of renunciation from the world. But the real topic, the core topic, is that of which is directly Krishna, Krishna Katha. Now, Bhagavatam, that is obviously a philosophical work. It is an exposition of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead, the result of studying which is Mukta Sangasya Jayate. One becomes released from all the contaminations of this world. Chanting japa? Just getting ready, is it? Bhagavatam opens with a philosophical description of the personality of Godhead. Even this first verse of Bhagavatam, it's got more understanding of the personality of Godhead in it than all the scriptures of the world put together, including the Vedic scriptures. It's all compact in that first verse. Janmadya sayatam vyaditras chatesh vabhignaswarata. And the second verse of Bhagavatam declares its supremacy, and that in this Bhagavatam there is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Then the third verse introduces rasa vicha, nigama kalpatura galitam palam shukamakha damrita dravasangyatam pibata bhagavata rasamalaya mahuraho rasika bhuvi bhavakaha. Here is described the personality of Godhead and all the truths concerning Him, and everything else is kicked out from this Bhagavatam. But what is the essence? Saram saram hi udaharitam. What is the essence of the Vedic knowledge? The Upanishads give the philosophical exposition of the futility of this world and the need to become detached from it and liberated from it. The Bhagavatam describes that real liberation is going back home, back to Godhead. Real liberation is in Krishna consciousness. And the third verse of Bhagavatam states that, or insinuates that, suggests that, that even above and beyond philosophy, there is the taste, the transcendental taste of the mellows of Krishna consciousness, rasa vicha. Tattva vicha means consideration of philosophical understanding of all the truths concerning Krishna, and rasa vicha means to understand, and not just understand, but to enter into, to experience the nectar of Krishna consciousness. I'm getting a bit tangled here. In India, when flies disturb during class, which is not uncommon there, quite common, then someone will come with a chamar like this. They know that culture. But I'm set up now, so I don't know. Unless they really start harassing. So there are some advantages that people know the culture there. So we need to understand philosophy, and then philosophy that has to be applied. Krishna consciousness is not meant for armchair philosophy, just sitting and then we have our exam, Bhakti Shastra exam, then we can become initiated, Brahmin initiated, and get another degree and then become a teacher. But Krishna consciousness is not just academic, it's meant for practical action in Krishna's service. This is one point. Now you've been hearing Manidhar Prabhu, for many of you have been coming for many years and you're well used to hearing him. And one essential point that he makes in various ways, often what we might call unorthodox ways, but he gets the point over, is that Krishna consciousness is meant for practical activity. It's not armchair philosophy. Devotional service means we actually have to do some serve. We have to serve. Get off our butt and do something. So this activity in Krishna consciousness, actually serving Krishna, and serving, what is the attitude? Tivrena bhakti yogena. Intensity. That intensity is required. Generally, in this material world, people are intensely interested in sense gratification and they're prepared to work hard for that. And then time to time they want some relaxation. So they go into the country, some place like this, and they have a retreat, and then they relax. And then when they get some more energy, then they go back and enjoy sense gratification. So this Lika Kam could be considered a retreat in that sense. But it's not meant just for us to come and just have a little fun and go back. I know that for many of you, this is definitely for Murari Gupta and Mataji, Sundari Mataji. This is the most important thing of their whole year, because they've made Bhakata Shaiva Parama Shiddhi, Prema Bhakti, Prema Lati Karamula. Service to devotees is the, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, service to devotees is the topmost perfection, and it is the root of the kripa of prema, pure love of Krishna. So they have made a service to devotees specifically through these festivals. The focus of their devotional life, so for them it's the most important time of the year. For many of you also, it's the most important time. You'll come here every year. And it's not just coming together, different families. I'm talking about karmis, they come together, they have some socializing, and they go away. But this is quite different, because this is sadhu sangha, associating with devotees. So at this time of year, the karmis, they also go on their holidays. And for them, it's the most important time of the year, because their life is dedicated to sense gratification. And their holiday, going to Croatia from Germany or wherever, is the time of the year when they are dedicated fully only to sense gratification. They have no work to do. Namang karmani libbati. Krishna says, I have no work to do. So it's their time when they can really imitate the personality of Godhead, in which they are the enjoyer, they have no work to do, and everything is just concentrated on sense gratification. So for them, it's the most important time of the year, and then they go back to Germany or wherever and start saving up again for next year's holiday. But coming here for the devotees, it's different. They take 1 week off in the summer or whatever to come here. And it's the most important part of the year for them, because their priority, their focus in life is Krishna consciousness. And this is a time when they can have intense Krishna consciousness away from all the people who are interested in sense gratification. So what is important and what is unimportant? After working hard all year and then not even any sense gratification, but rather come to a place which is more uncomfortable. But for the sake of sharing association with devotees, so rasa, ultimately rasa, we are meant for tasting. Because devotees, they find coming here and associating with devotees a taste of spiritual association, which is not to be had in the association of non-devotees. In fact, the association with non-devotees, that it's an obstacle in our progress in Krishna consciousness. We have to live in that. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita states, Padma Patrami Vambhasa. One should live in this world just like a lotus leaf is on the water, but it's not affected by the water. It doesn't become waterlogged. If a drop of water falls on a lotus leaf, it may sit for a moment or two, then it rolls off. And Krishna recommends that we have to live in this world, but we should be aloof from it. But coming to this camp means that we are given a taste of the spiritual world, because in the spiritual world, what is there? There's a daily activity of hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving Krishna in the association of devotees, taking Krishna prasadam. So these are the activities here, and that gives us a taste of the spiritual world. So this is important. Every verse in Bhagavatam is important, but ultimately what is important is that Vishaya Charya Shai Roshe Mojya, giving up the endeavor to enjoy this material world through sense gratification, we can actually enter into the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Shukdev Goswami personally experienced that. He found in the personality of Parikshit Maharaj a suitable candidate to hear the subject of Bhagavatam. Otherwise, he was wandering here and there. Some village women and children were following him. He didn't sit down and speak Bhagavatam to them. When he found Parikshit Maharaj, he spoke to him. Even when Parikshit was in family life, he was a great devotee at that time also. But at that time, Shukadev, it wasn't arranged that Shukadev meet him at that time. Only when he was Mriyamana, facing death, directly facing death. One of the questions of Parikshit Maharaj was that, what is the duty of a human being, and especially one who is facing death? So someone who is in that consciousness that I have to die. He may have 10 million years more to live but in that life, but one who is in the consciousness that I'm not here permanently, I'm only here temporarily. My real business is beyond this world of birth and death. And such a person is fit to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, about which the subject matter is clearly Krishna and Krishna consciousness, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana. But more subtly, there's the Krishna Prema Rasa. So that has been brought out, churned even further, especially by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the person, Bhagavat, who relished the mellows of Srimad Bhagavatam, and his followers, they, as his mouthpieces, they brought to the attention of the world, or those fortunate few people in this world who take an interest in this, who know what is important and what is unimportant. They brought to the attention of the world what is the contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Anarpita Chiring Chirat Karunya Vatirno Kalau Samapiyatamunatajvalarasa Swabhakti Shriyam. Haripurita Sundar Duties Kadamba Sandipitan Sada Hridaya Kandare Spuritu Vasha Chinandana. Rupa Goswami gives this Ashivad, this benediction verse, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also employs in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that may that personality of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, be manifest in the inner core of your heart. He has appeared in this age of Kali to bestow what no other avatar bestowed before. After a very, very long time, he has come to give the topmost resplendent rasa of pure devotional service unto himself. This is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unlocked and distributed to the world. So we're all meant for that. We're all meant for blissful life. It may seem to be a struggle in this material world to even remain in Krishna consciousness, but we should look up Utishta Jagrata Prapya Viranda Nibodhata Kshurasya Dhara Nishita Duratyaya Durgang Patas Tat Kavayo Vadanti. The Upanishads, they enjoin us, look up, get up, look up, wake up, get up. Look up. Don't look down. This material world is pulling us down. Look up. See what is up above. We are meant for that. This human form of life is meant for that. Get it. Now is the chance. Take the opportunity of the human form of life. At the same time, we should understand that it's as if we're on a razor's edge. The razor, we can cut very nicely, shave the face, the head, but if misused, we can cut very badly. So this human life, we can utilize it for going back home, back to Godhead, or we can misuse it and go to hell. This is the situation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has revealed what is important, what is actually important. And in Bhagavatam, it is stated, Parokshavada Rishayo, Parokshang Chamamapriya. Krishna says that the rishis, they speak sometimes indirectly, and indirect narrations are also dear to me. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed through his associates that service to Radha, Radha Dasyam, that is the nectar, that is the actual message of Bhagavatam, even though her name is not even mentioned there once. That's rather indirect. But those who are expert at reading the indications, they can understand. Just like there may be some secret sign language, some secrets among thieves or among lovers, among spies. They have some ways of saying something, or some little shake of the head may mean something, or they may talk about tomorrow let's go to the coffee shop, and they have their ink. It sounds like, to the ordinary person, it sounds like one thing, but actually it's cryptic. They have their own hidden inner understanding. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed that The Bhagavatam certainly teaches of Bhagavat Tattva Vigyan. That is the subject of Srimad Bhagavatam. But what is the prima rasa sima? What is the limit? The unlimited love of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to reveal that. Jadigorna hoito tobeki hoito kemani dharitam de. Radhar mahima. Prima rasa sima. Jagate janatoke. Yes. About Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that if he had not come, then what would have happened? How could we have lived? What would the purpose be of living? The glories of Srimati Radha, he broadcasts that to the world. It's the ultimate limit. Not means it's not limited, but once you get this far, there's nowhere further to go. There's nothing beyond this. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Srila Prabhupada came to give this. In the meantime, we're going on struggling with our lives, one trying to fit in our rounds and follow the four regulated principles. We have such a high aspiration, but we find that we are dragged down in this material world. We're just trying to get up and not be carried away by the waves of this world. So let us study Gita, Bhagavatam, give time for that, make time, and remind us what a great hope we have. Now we're struggling this way, that way, but if we just keep going, then Krishna will be pleased just at that effort of keep going. You may think, well, I'm not a Mahabhagavat. I'm just trying to chant my rounds. But Krishna is pleased by that. If we just go on struggling, even materially, if we stick to what we're supposed to be doing, that is purifying. That Krishna taught Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, that you want to change your situation. But if you just stick to your situation, that in itself is purifying. In the 11th canto, Krishna says to Uddhava that, Swadharma Nishita, that being situated in one's own prescribed duty, that in itself is dharma. Just to stick with that, that itself is purifying. If we properly situate it and go on with that. And that is purifying. One devotee who I've known for many years, he was with me as a brahmachari, and then after some time he got married. He wrote me a letter. Well, he sent me an article that he wants to publish. I have to remind him to publish, to polish up that essay and publish it. So he wrote that for quite a few years in his family life. He and his wife, they had disagreements and sometimes quite heatedly expressed disagreements, as is not uncommon in family life, especially in the modern age. But they had a pact. It was understood between them that even though it's very easy to do so under the modern legal system, they were not going to divorce. They'd entered this marriage for the sake of Krishna consciousness, and they took it as their Krishna conscious duty to remain together, which they have done over all the years. And he writes in that article how now, as their old age is approaching, they're in later middle age, that they don't fight with each other anymore, and they've been through all of that, and now, being more mature in years and in Krishna consciousness, they more and more they're appreciating the value of each other and how each other how they've helped each other. I mean, it's not that they were only fighting, but how they've supported each other throughout all the years. And in this way, it's a case of, just like in the Gita is stated, that that which in the beginning may seem like poison, but it's like nectar at the end. So he made the comment that because they were they made the decision to stay together and go on serving Krishna together like this, they went through, they took shelter of Krishna. And as Krishna says in Gita, that sarvakamani api sada kurvano madhya pashriyat mad prasadad tarishyate, that if you in despite being engaged in so many different activities, Krishna told Arjuna, who he was about to engage in the activity of fighting, which in this circumstance Arjuna was not personally at all interested in doing, but Krishna says that if you take shelter of me while doing this, then by my grace you will cross over all the difficulties of this world. So if we just go on doing what we're supposed to do in Krishna's service, it will be difficult. It might seem that we're not going anywhere, but Krishna is seeing, Krishna is helping, and eventually we will see what is the value of that, how Krishna is rewarding us for our persistence in his service. And in this article, this devotee was mentioning that sometimes our devotees, they want to help other devotees who are having difficulties in marriage by applying various modern psychological techniques. But as he said, this won't work because they don't, these psychologists, they don't understand the nature, they don't actually understand what is psychology at all, because they don't know what is the nature of consciousness. They don't know what is the nature of soul. They don't know what is the purpose of human life. They presume that the purpose of human life is to enjoy yourself because you only live once. And that if you're in a situation where neither are happy, then it makes sense just to get out of it. But that's not at all the dharmic understanding. The dharmic understanding is that somehow we're in this situation that is under the arrangement of a higher order. So we're meant for this. We have to go on with this. Of course, if we can make some adjustment which is favorable for our Krishna consciousness, we should do that. But we can't change the world. There's no use to complain about the world. It's the way it is. We've got in this situation because what we have done. We could have been born in any situation, in any planet. We could have been born in the heavenly planets or in the hellish planets. But we're in this situation because Krishna ordained that this is what is meant for us. We have certain experiences that we have to go through for our purification. So let us do so, remembering Krishna, by applying ourselves to the process of Krishna consciousness. And in due course of time, if we do that, if we're faithful to the process of Krishna consciousness, then Krishna will reward us with so many realizations. And although our progress might seem to be slow, if we're sincerely trying, we'll find the time will come when we'll be galloping. And then all the obstacles will fall away, and Krishna will open the doors of the spiritual world. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he came to America and he was preaching, trying to spread Krishna consciousness, and didn't seem like there was any improvement. There were just a few people who didn't really understand what he was doing. To a large extent, it seemed they were just taking advantage of the meager facility that Srila Prabhupada could offer. He didn't have any helpers in the beginning, but he persisted. And there came a time when the Krishna consciousness movement just unfolded. Hayagriva Prabhu in that book, he called it the Hare Krishna explosion. But it wasn't that when Srila Prabhupada first came to the West that everything just fell into place. But he went on with his duty. There's one lecture of Srila Prabhupada in New York in 1966 in which he states that, why am I here? I was in Vrindavan. I was very happy in Vrindavan. If I was to go back there, I would have no problem at all. All he could stay in an ashram and there'd be some arrangement for prasadam and he could chant Hare Krishna. Then why, Srila Prabhupada said, have I come here? He was thinking this New York is a horrible place. Why should I be here? And he said, because it is my duty. He said, I'm not happy here. And there's a woman in the audience who says, yes, yes, I can understand that. He said, Vrindavan is very nice. And here, he said, this New York, always there's some traffic horn honking all the time, whereas in Vrindavan there are bells, temple bells, and peacocks calling. So Srila Prabhupada said, it's because my duty, it's ordered by my spiritual master. So I must do it. So if we go on with Krishna consciousness, we may not all be world acharyas. Who knows? Who knows? No one expected Abhay Babu to be the world acharya. It was not expected. It was not expected. It was not even imaginable. But out of all his godbrothers, he was the one who, having lived at home, family life, struggling in family life, if family members not very appreciative, business struggles, and then he emerged and did something wonderful for Krishna. And he said in one conversation that when I consider that there were so many godbrothers, some of them were sannyasis, very austere. Srila Prabhupada said that when in a dream his spiritual master called him to take sannyas, he said, I was horrified. I couldn't imagine. The householder life has certain comforts. He couldn't imagine being a sannyasi. So they'd had so much association with Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, sannyasis, very austere, very learned. And Prabhupada said, how has this wonderful thing of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world happened to me? Why me? When there are so many godbrothers who seem to be more qualified. And Srila Prabhupada said, when I analyze, I see that among all my godbrothers, only I had full faith in the words of my spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Kariya Aika Ana Kariya Mane Asha. Because Srila Prabhupada thought it was possible to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It wasn't some secret that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to Abhay Charana Aravinda Das. It wasn't some secret thing. Go and preach in the West, don't tell anyone else. It was an open desire. Everyone knew that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted preaching all over the world. But some attempt had been made. It had not fructified in the manner that had been hoped, and it didn't seem like it was possible. But Srila Prabhupada had faith that let me at least try. So we may not, it's unlikely that we'll all be great world acharyas, but we can also be great. It doesn't, Srila Prabhupada is unprecedented acharya in the Gauriya Sampradaya. But it doesn't mean that other devotees are unimportant. In glorifying Srila Prabhupada, we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that others are unimportant or insignificant. Rather, his greatness is better appreciated if we appreciate that there's so many great devotees among his godbrothers, so many towering great personalities. We do not disrespect them,
Rather, we should worship their lotus feet. But speaking in an unbiased manner, we can also say that what Srila Prabhupada did was unprecedented, unrivaled. He got some special mercy of his Guru Maharaj. So, all the devotees are important. The devotee who is going on with life, struggling in their situation, trying to chant, they're also glorious. Even though they may seem to be just one face in the crowd, but their sincere endeavor in Krishna consciousness, that is seen by Krishna, that is appreciated by Krishna. It may be that your whole life you just go on and you're chanting and doing whatever service you can do at home, and it may not seem even that much comes of it. You may be trying to preach, but it may not be that so many people come to Krishna consciousness by your inspiration. But Krishna sees the sincerity. Krishna appreciates that. Ananta koti Vaishnava Vrindakija, they're unlimited Vaishnavas. So if we can be fortunate to be counted among those Vaishnavas, we should not conflate material ambition with Krishna consciousness and think that, well, I should be a big shot, like a company director, something like this. Get a big position. Should we go join Rathiatra? Let's go. Let's go, 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 quick, quick. It's going on now. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jagannath Subhadra Baladev ki jai.